And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to Awesome Mania. I'm your host, Michael Lindebaum, joined by, as always, your undisputed champion, Mr. Ben Taylor.
Hit me.
Hit you. So
I'm gonna do this on the recording this time. Have you turned the stream on yet?
To Jordan?
No, to you.
No, I haven't turned the
stream on. I have now reminded you four times. You said to me every time.
I didn't know it was
to Ben, remind me I was supposed to turn the stream on. And I literally said, and this is where I tell Mike to turn the stream on. This is where I tell Mike to turn the stream on. Mike, have you turned the stream on yet? And you just blanked me every time. So I waited till we started recording. That way it's on the record now.
And I'm working on it. The PS4 is firing up right now.
Fine. Let's go on while we're waiting, shall we?
Alrighty. So, number one. We decided earlier today we're going to do some changes to the format. I mean, nothing major. I mean, it's still going to be four segments, stuff like that. It's just that now segment number one will be news and notes.
Yeah, it should be like general news from around the wrestling world that we want to talk about. That way we don't have to we don't have to try and stretch. Is AEW stealing WWE developmental talent a good thing to an entire segment? Because the answer is quite obviously yes. And that's the end of the conversation.
Right. And then not like that, but we had some breaking news happen today. Yeah. We can also just do minor touch bases on what happened on Raw and SmackDown.
Yep.
And not have to go deep into it. Also, and then obviously the last segment will be fantasy booking. We'll be doing Elimination Chamber predictions. And we got a fan question. And when I say fan question, I also will reference that this fan question is also coming from a friend of mine who has listened to the show and wanted to ask this of us.
Absolutely.
So, which one would you like to start with? Do you want to start with the news and notes? Because
start with that every time.
Okay. I only asked because one of the news kind of ties into Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, well, we can use that as a segue, maybe. Okay.
All right. I have the stream up.
So
I'm changing my thing real quick. The stream up.
It's fine. It's fine.
And I just dropped my note card. All right. So starting off with news and notes, as you referenced to AEW potentially stealing developmental talent for the WWE, what impact it could take. We both read the article about how the comparison between what it would be like to get Randy Orton compared to getting, say, Darby Allin from Evolve, which is essentially now a feeder system.
Absolutely, a feeder system.
Yeah. So one can, and the biggest argument of the article is that while Randy Orton is a big name and it would make an impact, it would be a much bigger impact to bring in Darby, given the fact that it could change how things works with Evolve by saying, hey, we don't have to go to WWE now. We can go to AEW, and that has an impact of itself. Is it good for AEW? Yes. But how do you see that?
I think that's horse crap. Quite frankly, is it good for them for AEW to poach WWE developmental talent? Yes. Does it change anything about the way Evolve happens? Fuck no. Everyone who works in Evolve is smart enough to know at this point that AEW is an option. For those of you who don't know, this all started because Darby Allin, who is quite a star in Evolve, but isn't...
He's a top guy, but he's not the top guy.
He's your Kofi Kingston. He's a top guy, but he's never held the big one. He appeared in a segment in Being the Elite with Cody offering him $1 million contract, which has been a running joke in Being the Elite for quite a while now. But frankly, I don't think it would be as big a deal as them getting Randy Orton. Not even fucking close. And for people to say that someone like Darby Allin to go to AEW would be as big as a Randy Orton, no matter how much of an impact it has on people in Evolve thinking, oh, I could go there. People are already thinking that. It's not a, it's nothing unique. It's no big deal. People already know this is an option. And it's not like this is the first time that AEW have taken someone from a WWE feeder. I mean, they signed Jimmy fucking Havoc, who is outstanding for Progress and MLW and so many other promotions. So yeah, while I think it's, if the question is it good for AEW to take WWE developmental talent? Yes. Would Darby Allin being the one to sign for AEW make as much of a splash? Be more impactful than Randy Orton? Fuck no. Mainly because how many WrestleManias has Darby Allin been in?
Zero.
How much name recognition does Darby Allin have outside of hardcore Evolve fans and those that carefully watch the indies? Be honest with me. How much did you know about Darby Allin before you read that article?
I knew a little bit about him, but that was simply because he wrestled on the Evolve shows in Joppa, Maryland.
Whereas, they take Randy Orton and every single person that's ever put an eye on a WWE product he's been involved in, pay attention.
Like, what was it, 14-time WWE champion, headline WrestleMania at least 4 or 5 times.
2-time Royal Rumble winner.
Yeah, so I mean,
it's
an interesting article, and it's an interesting concept, but as you brought it up, Orton's a much massive name. And the fact that Orton's done movies.
If they'd have said something like, would be getting, I don't know, Shane Strickland.
That would be a big get.
Right?
Like, everybody knows Shane Strickland.
Not just that, but he's had mainstream exposure through Lucha Underground. He's been rumored to go to NXT. We know he's going to NXT, but I'm using Shane Strickland as an example. And it's not a shot at Darby Allin, but Shane Strickland is a better known name. It would have been a closer conversation, but it's not. The best thing that they can do is, it's good to poach WWE's future talent. I mean, look at what's been happening recently we talked about this, is when there's a bad pay-per-view, you can't say that that it's the wrestler's fault, because 90% of those wrestlers participated in takeovers that were 5 stars, right? So, yes, taking stuff away from the developmental is going to be good in the long run for AEW. But to say that taking someone like Darby Allin, and I love Darby Allin, don't get me wrong. A, part of the reason I wanted Darby Allin is because his name is Allin, right? But B, there's no comparison between him and Allin. None.
All right, so moving on. We're going to do a little Raw SmackDown talk real quick in the news and notes. Obviously, the biggest... actually, we'll start with the smaller news and work our way to the bigger news. The Revival are now the Raw Tag Team Champions.
Yeah.
It took long enough. How do you feel that the Revival are now Tag Team Champions?
I do believe I've been quoted as saying this before on this very show. Don't fuck it up. You are very close to having the tag team division on Raw. just putting the belts on the division isn't on the division. On the revival isn't enough.
You got to make that division strong.
It's not enough. You got to let the revival be the revival. You've got to let the tag division thrive and build. You've got to. You've got to stop the bullshit that's going on SmackDown, where it's basically two teams at the top all of the time. Right?
Yep.
Which is what it's turned into, so...
Well, that also is because the last time, you know, I think it was the shakeup before, not the most recent one that we had at WrestleMania last year, but the one before that, they literally took the SmackDown Tag Team Division and moved it over to Raw and then just did nothing with it. You know, because they took the Ascension, they took... Who else did they take? I know the
Ascension...
Oh, yeah, they took away Breezango, the Fashion Police. You know, they took all these teams that were actually... I mean, albeit with the Fashion Police and the Ascension, they're doing the Fashion Police skits stuff. That was actually great for them. Now, if they could have translated it into the ring, that would have been even better.
But is it something to be said where they took the entire SmackDown division over to Raw, and then the SmackDown Tag Team division was still better?
Yeah, but the problem
is... It just goes to show you how Raw, as a creative team, don't know how to deal with tag teams, right? Isn't that just what that's telling you?
That it is, but at the same time, you took away those tag teams. The only tag team that actually got moved over at that time was the New Day. So then it essentially became New Day versus Usos for about a year, and then you brought in The Bar and Gallows and Anderson, who haven't really done much on SmackDown. I mean, The Bar, I did get the tag team titles eventually, but they've been on and off television. So it's like, SmackDown knows what to do with the tag team division, but they really haven't done much with the tag team division outside of your top two, three teams.
I hate to break it to you, but the SmackDown tag team division over the last like year and a half has been fucking phenomenal. I'm not actually sure what television you've been watching.
Okay, outside
some of the best matches I've seen. Like,
oh, no. I am agreeing with you 100% on that. It's just that, but it's the same teams for the most part. I mean, the Bludgeon Brothers...
That's because they've got like four teams on SmackDown. It's not like on Raw where you've got Revival, Breezango, which admittedly Dango's been injured. You've got the
AOP,
Rude and Gable. The Edgeheads have got back together. I've already named like four more teams than are actually on SmackDown.
Yeah. So, but I hope they. I hope that what we've been reading online with the Revival getting the titles, this is the beginning of the true focus on the tag team division.
I hope so.
I really fucking hope so.
So much so that they don't have a match this Sunday. But we won't go there.
Well,
that's probably because there's like four multi-man matches. Or multi-person matches, should I say. It's going to be a lot of time invested in those.
Well, hopefully a couple of these matches can be done quickly. And one of these matches may not happen the way it's supposed to happen now. But we'll get to that in a moment, because the next thing is that Becky Lynch has been removed from the WrestleMania match against Ronda Rousey by Vince McMahon, who has also named Charlotte Flair as her replacement.
Wank.
We all know where this is going.
Wank.
Triple threat match.
Wank.
Yep, moving on.
Long story short, right? Long story short. There are so many ways they could have got Charlotte involved in this match. Right? That were good. Right?
I mean,
actually made logical storyline sense.
Didn't I say like a while back on this very show they could easily recreate the Triple H, Shawn Michaels, Chris Benoit storyline?
Well, the problem with that is the story there, if they were recreating that, then it would be Ronda and Charlotte wanting to fight each other. and Becky going, yeah, but I won the Royal Rumble and you've got to let me in your little club. Whereas this is Becky and Ronda wanting to fight each other. This would be like...
It's like a reverse a little bit. Yeah, you flip a couple roles here or there. But there's so many different ways this could have been done.
If they aren't setting up... If they were any less obvious in setting up Becky Lynch versus the McMahon family post-WrestleMania, I don't know how they... It's so fucking transparent at this point.
But we definitely see it. Obviously, as you just mentioned, Becky versus McMahon family. Rumor has it, SummerSlam 2019, Becky Lynch versus Stephanie McMahon, although not concrete. It's just something they penciled in as a major match.
Yeah.
So, next up on the news.
One thing I do want to say, right?
Yep.
Is it is quite clear why Charlotte's being put in the match. Right?
Yeah, well, one, it sounds like they're going to put Becky over.
And they don't want Ronda getting beat.
Yeah. So you get the pin on Charlotte rather than on Ronda.
Yeah.
But you still, at the same time, get the title off of Ronda.
Yeah.
So it works. It works out in many ways.
Yeah.
So we can't complain too much about that. And then, of course, now for our breaking news that happened today.
There's two pieces of breaking news.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I'll let you do the second
With my one first. It's not because it's not as clean a segue into Elimination Chamber.
No, it's not.
It was announced today that The Undertaker will be appearing at StarCast on the day of Double or Nothing.
Some shit's going down, bro, because now that's what now? Sting, Bret Hart, Taker, and didn't they announce one other big name?
I can't remember.
No, I think it might have just be the three then. But yeah, I mean, Taker. I mean, everyone's flipping out because Taker took all the WWE mentions off his social media.
In all fairness, there never were WWE mentions on his social media.
Yeah. So, and I know because I follow his social medias, and I never see the WWE mention on any of them. It's like, oh well, it's Taker. Okay, cool. But he's allowed to. He's actually taking bookings outside of WWE now as well. He's charging like $25,000 per hour.
The thing to understand, right, is StarCast is not directly linked to Double or Nothing. It is just...
It's like a convention.
It's just the wrestling convention. And when you understand that some of the other people appearing there are still under WWE contract, it's not a big deal. But
people are making it a big deal.
Yeah.
I think the internet is just... I think it comes to that one comment that I said to you privately via text message. It's like, well, now that AEW is here, everyone's signing with them. You know, the internet just automatically assumes, well, they're here, so everyone's going to automatically just sign with them.
And that's exactly what I was trying to say in the first point you made.
Yeah, it's like, I think they need to calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
But also I can see why people are freaking out a little bit over it too, because StarCast is also a sponsor to Double or Nothing, just like it was to All In back in September for Chicago. It's just a sponsor, and that's all it is. But we found out earlier this afternoon that apparently Jimmy Uso takes the Uso Penitentiary very seriously.
A little bit too far.
Because Jimmy and Naomi were pulled over in Detroit because Naomi was driving on the wrong direction on a one-way street in Detroit. And it seemed like, from what I read, I was trying to find the article again real quick, but it wouldn't pop up for me. Naomi had apparently had everything under control. The officers could smell booze in the car, so they asked her to get out of the car. She was doing all the tests and stuff, and everything was fine. But then suddenly, Jimmy just gets out of the car, rips his shirt off, and starts sizing up the cops.
Does this sound familiar?
wait, hold on. I can't. Let me scratch the beard that used to be on my face real quick.
It should remind you of exactly what his brother Jay did in January of last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
They really take that Uso penitentiary shit seriously.
Yep.
But he has posted bail, which is not a surprise because he has the money to do it. But really? Yeah, it's like, it's from what I read from the report. They said, hey, stay in the car, you're fine. You know, just stay in the car. But because he was apparently the one drinking. There you go. So, which is the best segue into the Elimination Chamber predictions.
One thing I will say, however, right? And this will come up again in the predictions, I'm sure. Is you're all like, oh, that was, the match might not even happen. Or it might be really short. Remember last year when Jay got arrested for the same thing. They 2-0'd the new American Alpha, the Gable and Benjamin, for the titles. So
they're your top tag team.
Doesn't seem to fucking mean anything.
Yeah.
Right. One thing I do want to say is look at our new stuff since we're going to predictions. Wow.
As we wait for it to load up on screen.
Yeah.
Which is like about a, like what, a third? Oh, holy shit, that looks really cool.
So
now people can see our predictions. This is awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. Okay, cool. You got that up at the top. Let me see here. Let me just match up. Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber women's. SmackDown tag match. Yep.
Well, these are all the matches that I knew that are happening.
Yeah, okay, cool. We both got
If I could be more honest, that Wikipedia told me what happening.
Yeah, I hopped on the Lords of Pain real quick and just jotted everything down. And they had just done the announcement that the Cruiserweight title is going to be on the kickoff show now.
Yeah.
So, they obviously always, every time a match thing comes up, they always update the card. Which actually is a great way to start. Why don't we start with the kickoff show? You have the Cruiserweight title being defended by Buddy Murphy against Akira Tozawa.
Who have you got and why?
I got Buddy Murphy because I don't think it's time to end that reign. Like, I love Akira Tozawa, but I'm going...
Are you the guy that bet on Hideo Itami?
Yeah, yeah. And then we found out, like, a week later that he was leaving. Or, like, actually days later that he was leaving the company. But I got Buddy. I don't think it's time. I love Tozawa, but...
Yeah, I too have Buddy Murphy.
I think Buddy's going to lose it at Mania.
Probably.
I that's what I think is going to happen.
Okay. Next up, we've got Nia and Tamina, otherwise known as the Samoan squat team. I don't know. The Botchy McFuckstains, the really bad wrestlers, the... shouldn't even be in this matches versus the Riot Squad, Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus the iIconics versus Sasha and Bayley versus Naomi and Carmella, who are apparently a team because they both like dancing.
And I believe Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose are now called Fire and Ice.
I don't care.
And
there is another reason why I did not write the Boston Hug connection, because it sounds fucking stupid.
Well, guess what? Bayley and Sasha and Sonya and Mandy, they're going to be the ones starting this match. So they're going to be at the disadvantage. I'm going to go on the record and say I do not see Bayley and Sasha winning. I can see them going to the very end, but I don't see them winning. For some reason, I have
you
that
feeling floating at the end?
No.
Okay.
I'm going to feed off of something that you talked on the last episode when we were talking about how to end WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Where Bayley and Sasha have the Women Tag Team Championships. I think they win them at WrestleMania.
Uh-huh.
I could see it going one of two ways. I could see it going to... the iIconics, or I could see it going to Sonya and Mandy.
right, the only two teams in here that deserve to hold those titles are the Iconics and the Riot Squad.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, Riot Squad is like right up there with...
Because they're a legit team.
Yeah. And not only so that, but...
Like, got what? Like, go, give us your call.
I'm going to go with the Iconics. I'm going to go with the Iconics because I feel that this is going to be the thing that really gets them more TV time, and it's going to give them a good push, especially going into WrestleMania season. Because this is a team that should be getting more TV time.
Uh-huh. Right. So I absolutely know that this is likely to torpedo any hope I've got of winning this predictions contest, right? But my prediction is I don't care. None of these teams, there aren't...
There it is, right there.
Yeah. I don't care. And that is quite literally my answer. Mainly because, A, even if either the Iconics or the Riot Squad win them, there aren't enough people on their respective brands to defend them a lot. And on top of that, I don't trust WWE to not fuck up another tag division. This is purely ornamental. This is one of those things they trotted out going, you are the GMs now. But the last 3 weeks, they've been the ones making the decisions about Becky Lynch, haven't they? And inserting Charlotte Flair into shit. What happened to us being in charge?
I saw a meme for that today.
I literally... The only two in here that deserve this are the Riot Squad and the Iconics, right? Not to say Sonya and Mandy don't, but they both have more value as singles wrestlers. Sasha and Bayley shouldn't win it right out of the gate. They should be the ones chasing it, which makes me think it's going to Raw, not to SmackDown.
Well, actually, this title will be on both shows, but it won't be featured on both shows every week.
But that's the problem.
Yeah.
Right? That means you're flying your female superstars around Corey Graves style between every fucking show.
But not every week. It's not going to be what like...
But what they're going to do is they're going to continue to have one brand have the team featured more. Like, if Sasha and Bayley win it, the belts will show up more on Raw because Sasha and Bayley are Raw superstars. They don't instantly become free agents John Cena style. That's not what this is.
Yeah, they're going to treat it the way, like when they did the very, very first WWE draft back in 2002, yeah, where the WWE and the women's champion both were on both shows until they finally... Well, the women's title kept going on both shows a lot longer than the WWE title. But then, obviously, after SummerSlam 2002, that's obviously when they kind of ended the thing with the WWE title and brought in the World Heavyweight title, so each show had a title. So that's how I see they're going to do it. But again, it's not going to be an every week thing, where it's going to be on both shows.
But yeah, I want, like I said, I want either the Iconics or the Riot Squad to win it. I don't care.
And it sounds like the Riots, and I'm not going to change my pick. I'm going to stay with the Iconics. But listening to what you're saying, Riot Squad winning, it makes a lot more sense, too, because of the feuds that they've had with Bayley and Sasha.
Let's say the Iconics do win it, right?
Right.
Who's chasing them? Mandy and Sonya, another heel team. Naomi and Carmella, a team that was just thrown together for this thing because they both like dancing. It's going to someone on Raw. I'm going to say it's going to go... You know what? genocide.
Nia and Tamina is like the real dark horse.
But they're not.
They're the team that if they win it, I'll be like, fuck, they won it.
Of all of the teams here, the Riot Squad are the darkest of the horses. Because all they've done is lose.
Yeah, and that's what we're going to expect with the... that's a couple matches later. But with Ruby Riott versus Ronda. Because you know Ronda's going to win.
Right, so my prediction is officially, I don't care, but Nia Tamina are probably going to botch their way to win by accidentally breaking the chamber.
Oh, God. It doesn't even fit in the little box. Oh, that's great.
Because they can even make inanimate objects botch.
Oh, God. Damn it, that's great. I love how it just doesn't fit in the box either. It's just like little words that nobody can see anymore.
Right. And I know it's probably going to kill me in this prediction contest, but I find myself not giving a shit about most of this card.
I mean, I'm going to watch the card just for pure entertainment value, just to like sit back and relax type feel entertainment, because I turn my brain off when I watch this stuff most of the time.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I agree. This is not the best card. And I also agree with what Sasha Banks that actually said in an interview that there's just too many fucking pay-per-views. I mean, outside of the Raw Women's title match with Becky, yep, Charlotte, and Ronda.
Yeah.
And then outside of Seth Rollins versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
You have Elimination Chamber 3 weeks after Rumble, then you have Fastlane 3 weeks after that, and then you have WrestleMania 3 weeks after that.
Yeah.
We used to have it where you had like 5 to 6 weeks between the February pay-per-view and fucking WrestleMania. And you could really build shit.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah. Anyway.
You can still build shit. Doesn't mean there's too many pay-per-views. It means the people writing for the pay-per-views don't know what they're fucking doing. You don't have to put everyone on every pay-per-view, right? So let's say you want to build Charlotte, Becky, and Ronda. You don't need any of them on Elimination Chamber, and you could focus that story around Fastlane. You could take the women's title matches, the Elimination Chamber, make that here. Like, you don't have to have everyone and every story present on every pay-per-view. That's to the writers, not to the amount of pay-per-views there are.
Right. So, and of course, we should note that the SmackDown Women's title is not on this card.
Nope.
So that could be the focus of Fastlane there instead of putting the Raw Women's title. Next up, I'm going to work off of what you have up here on the screen. The Miz and Shane McMahon versus the Usos for the SmackDown Tag Team titles. I see Shane and Miz winning. I see them. Oh, yeah. It's like they're going to hold these titles, and if anything, lose it at Mania and somebody turns on somebody.
The only thing I could see maybe happening is them losing at Fastlane, leading to a match at Mania.
It could be one of the two. Like, I'm still going with Miz and Shane on this one. Especially the fact that like they just won it 3 weeks ago at the Rumble. Yeah. You want to give them a little bit more time with the titles. Next up, we have the WWE Title Elimination Chamber, which, by the way, I still love the holy hell out of the title belt that Daniel Bryan has now. Mm-hmm. I just love the look of it. It's beautiful. So speaking of that, Daniel Bryan defends against AJ Styles, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and the recently added Kofi, the submissive specialist, Go Ram Kingston. Sorry, I botched a little bit of it, but I remember from the MVM days, you just going, the submission specialist, the mat technician, Kofi Go Ram Kingston, obviously Mustafa Ali is dealing with injuries, not cleared to wrestle this weekend. And of course, they're putting that storyline wise on Randy Orton because Randy Orton really did give Mustafa Ali a black eye last week on SmackDown. And then he suffered a couple injuries over the weekend on the live events circuit. I'm going Daniel Bryan. He's going into WrestleMania's. I think he's going to hold the title for a while. I think even past Mania.
I don't think he's holding it past Mania.
You don't think so?
No. I think if you saw SmackDown, obviously.
I read up on it.
That's why you didn't know that SmackDown's tag scene has been any good, because you don't actually watch television.
No, I didn't watch it this week because I had to cover the Caps game for TXHT.
Right.
I am I'm the only key writer for the Capitals right now, and we're working on trying to fix that so I don't have to cover every single fucking game.
So if they learn one thing from SmackDown this week, it's that the audience very much want Kofi. And I think that's going to be coming out of Mania.
Oh, Kofi winning the title?
Yeah. I do agree with you that I think D-Bry is going to win here. It could be someone shocking like AJ Styles. But bear in mind, Daniel Bryan is the first person into the chamber.
And Randy Orton's the last one into the chamber.
Yeah.
You
go with D-Bry?
Yeah, I'm going with D-Bry. Our boy D-Bry. Not only that, but as long as Daniel Bryan is champion, we get to keep seeing that beautiful title belt.
Okay. So next up, we have Ruby Riott against everybody's favorite Ronda James Cuthbert Rousey.
We know where this is going. Just go Rousey.
We both.
I mean, this is why.
Part of me genuinely thinks that Ruby Riott might win the match by DQ when Charlotte attacks Ronda, but...
Yeah, it's going to be a Rousey. She's going to retain.
Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor for the Intercontinental Championship. That's an actual match, by the way. I didn't make that up.
It didn't. I know.
That's an actual match.
Son of a bitch. I want Finn to win, but you know Bobby Lashley's going to retain it. Put me down for fucking Lashley.
Okay.
Like, I want Finn to win because I'm a Finn Balor guy, but let's be realistic here. They're going to keep the title on Lashley for a little bit while longer. And yeah, you can kind of put me under the I don't care portion of that one, too.
You know what? Paul Heyman's going to win.
Okay, you know what? Paul Heyman's going to come in and F5 Leo Rush, pin him in 1-2-3.
Like, I don't know whether you've picked up on this, right? But I don't do these joke predictions a lot. I just do it when I genuinely don't give a shit.
About the card.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I'm going to be 110% honest with you. There isn't a single match on this card I actually want to see.
We're just going to watch it for the sake of watching it.
I probably won't even watch it.
And the last match, a no DQ, Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin.
Yeah.
This is another I don't care, but it's going to be Braun. Man, I'd be highly surprised if Corbin won this match.
Baron Corbin's new best friend, Drew McIntyre. I don't need any friends, so I break up from my tag team partner only to get in the Royal Rumble and then leave the Royal Rumble and get another tag team partner.
Yeah, and the neutralizer on that one's going to be Kurt Angle for Braun Strowman.
Yeah, no. Kurt, I'm genuinely worried when I see Kurt in the ring.
And it's why that they're saying that WrestleMania 35
will be in the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, you've
seen him in the Royal Rumble.
He was bad.
By the way, my prediction for Braun Strowman against Baron Corbin is Trent Seven.
God damn right, because Trent Seven wins everything.
He fucking well does. Actually, you know what? It's not Trent Seven. It is not Trent Seven. It's the Velveteen Dream. Now, I know what I have, given that there are six matches on the card and I haven't actually predicted three of them, given up the ghost here. And you are going to win this. Unless by some weird thing, given all the ones that I've actually predicted, this is one of the worst cards I've ever seen.
And for the record, Jordan, we'll probably not count this one towards the standings.
Just, it's not worth my, like, it's literally not my worth my time to watch this. I would rather go back and watch an old episode of another Federation. That's your segue.
Yes, it is.
That's your cue.
Yeah, I take it, damn it. Which leads us to our fan question, which the fan has asked them to remain anonymous. They didn't want to have their name on the show for because we're a not safe for work show. So obviously job stuff, you know, it could be that type of reason. The person wanted to know.
That's fucking stupid, but okay.
Well, I can understand certain things.
I really can't, but. It's anyway. Not like they're the ones swearing.
Yeah.
I don't want my boss to know that I listen to a wrestling podcast.
That curses a lot. They want to know.
Fuck, fuckity fuck.
Outside of WWE, New Japan, Ring of Honor, Impact, and we'll throw AEW in there for the sake of throwing AEW in there.
You literally can't, but okay. Because I know what the question is.
What indie promotions do you watch? And why?
Start with you.
Even though I've departed them about 8 months ago, I still follow MCW Pro Wrestling. Uh-huh. There are talents there that, like Dante Caballero, Joe Keys, Ken Dixon, who are now moved on to the Ring of Honor Dojo as well. They're guys who I've watched grow within the promotion during my time there, and they really are the future of the business, and I want to keep watching them continue to grow. Dante, obviously the current MCW champion. And I do try to watch Evolve from time to time, and I do try to keep tabs on VCW, which is the one down in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I do try to keep tabs on Nova Pro, which also runs Fury Pro Wrestling, which is actually taking place this Sunday in Rockville, Maryland. Which is, I believe, an all-women's show promotion.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's
I'm
actually...
I'm not sure if the promotion is all-women, but this show...
I think... I've been paying attention to their cars, and I think it's all-women. I think the only time they've had a guy on the car was when they had James Ellsworth. Hmm. with the Intergender title. And then I also, there's a new promotion actually in Silver Spring right down the road from my job, which is Flying V Pro Wrestling. They just had their first show last month and they're going to have their next show in July. So yeah, those are some of the promotions I watch. And I also try to support the local promotions.
Given that you named all the local promotions.
Yeah, well, there's a few local promotions that I didn't name that I don't really like watching. So,
A lot of that similarly goes for me. I try to follow MCW and Nova Pro and all of that stuff when I can. Though a whole lot of my non-WWE time goes towards British wrestling. Progress, Rev Pro, ICW, Future Shock, Attack Pro, Fight Club Pro, an absolutely brilliant Irish promotion called Over the Top. There's a German federation called WXW, which is really good. Just a lot of my watching is into Brit Rest, so that's more my side of things.
Cool. I mean, pretty much it's local, and then what was local to you when you lived back in the UK?
Yeah, stuff that I inadvertently started helped start. Yeah. I do watch Evolve, and I try to watch Stardom and things like that when I can. I watch a lot of the stuff on WWN Network as well. One I have been spending a lot of time watching recently is AAW, All American Wrestling, out of Illinois, at Defy out of Seattle. And crap, give me 1 second, because Defy and AAW also have all of their pay-per-views on Progress's video on demand. So give me 1 second. Yep. There is another one of them. Smash Wrestling.
Yeah, out of Canada. Yeah, and if I remember right, for a while Shane Strickland was champion in Defy.
Maybe,
yeah.
I'm still working my way through a very long backlog of Defy and Rise and there's a second MCW that I watch, which is Melbourne City Wrestling, which is from Australia. So yeah.
All right, fantasy booking. I have this show, right, here the next go. One. You did the hint, nudge, say no more.
Well, no, the thing is
for Valentine's Day.
I reminded you that it was your turn,
which I remembered. Okay. And I was working on something, and then you actually came up with the hint Valentine's Day, which my original thing was not Valentine's Day, so we'll save that one for the next episode. So, in the spirit of Valentine's Day, I'm already blanking on what I was brainstorming the holy hell out of this on the train ride home. Like, I had this. You have to create a storyline. You can have no more than 4 superstars.
Okay.
You can, if you want to go indie, you can go indie. You don't have to stick to WWE.
Okay.
And you have to create a storyline where you have to have them start off not wanting to team together. It'll be intergender or however you want to do it.
Okay.
Which will then lead up to how they become a couple. I know it sucks.
A couple or a team?
Either or. You can have it go either way. If you want it to become a couple in the spirit of Valentine's Day, you can do that. Or if you want it to be, may have them become a tag team, you can do that too. Let me get a new index card, because that one's just full of every other goddamn note. Awkward silence on the air. Well, luckily, we'll have music playing in the background while this.
So, it's got to have four people.
No more than four.
Okay, because right now, the plot I have is me and Steph leads to lots of sex, which leads to lots more sex, which leads to profit.
See, I was going to use something from the Mix Match Challenge. Shit. I knew you were going to go there.
Callaway will be appearing at.
So, fantasy booking. Ben, we've had our silence for a while, and people have just been listening to the bed music.
Yeah.
I will let you start with.
I think you should go first, because I would like to point out I did spend 10 minutes on the phone with the hospital right there. So, you need to give me a couple more minutes to work on my stuff.
All right, fine. So. I am working off of the first Mix Match Challenge.
Yep.
With Braun and Alexa.
Of course you are.
It's just the story that they should have gone with, and they just fucking go with.
They very much should have carried that onto live TV.
Yeah. And so you had this really great dynamic, and they kind of teased it a bit on Raw when they did some of the stuff leading into the Mix Match Challenge matches itself, but there was obviously a chemistry between Braun and Alexa that was just very natural, and it's something I wanted to see explored more.
Well, so, hang on, a male finding Alexa Bliss attractive?
I'm talking about the chemistry between the two of them in general.
So am I.
But
the whole storyline during the Mixed Match Challenge was they going bong.
But one of the things that I wanted to add in was, at the time, I believe Becky Lynch was going heel.
Nope.
No. No, that's what I did. I turned Becky heel for Sami Zayn, because at the time, Sami Zayn was heel. And they were teaming together.
You're working off the same premise as me.
That Sami and Becky were going to be the ones antagonizing Ron and Alexa?
No.
Working on.
Now, I want to, for reference here, Mike, myself, and one of Mike's friends are having a discussion the other night about when KO comes back. And then one of his other friends posted about Sami Zayn. And I said, they've got a built-in story for Sami when he comes back, and posted a video. And that's why Mike has thought of this exact thing. Carry on. Because it's why I've thought of it as well. Tell me your story.
So, obviously, Braun and Alexa, they're trying to remain professionals for the Mixed Match Challenge. Because, obviously, in real life, Alexa's engaged to Buddy Murphy.
Uh-huh.
But
poor Larry Steve.
But Sami Zayn and Becky in the heel role, I have them over the months. Because, obviously, you'd have all the incidents happen in other matches. But it would always be Sami and Becky kind of poking the bear, which would then lead into a blow-off match between the two tag teams. And then it would just be one of those things to, and I'm blanking on the thing I had in my fucking head. Next time, write everything the fuck out, Mike. But and then at the end, they would get the blow-off. Braun and Alexa would get the victory over Sami and Becky. And then you know, I think at that point it would be like, you know what, Braun, come here. You've been a great protector. And she gives him the kiss and then end of story.
Okay.
I'm not the best at fantasy booking. I'm not like you. You're fucking amazing at fantasy booking. I suck.
Right. So there's a little bit of build up for mine, right? And it starts at this year's WrestleMania. The penultimate match. Daniel Bryan loses the WWE Championship to Kofi Kingston. Doesn't really matter that it's Kofi. The more important thing is
he loses the belt.
He loses the belt, and at the end of the match, he's kind of losing his shit on Eric Rowan. He just kind of grabs him, gives him like the claw choke slam thing. And just gets this very far away look in his eyes. And slowly walks back up the ramp. Right? And in the closing part of the show, the closing match of the show is Becky tapping out Ronda Rousey. Charlotte not being involved in the fall whatsoever. Right?
You have me hooked.
He stands there, victorious with the Raw Women's Championship. Later, so the very next night, Becky comes out and she cuts a promo. Charlotte comes out. And she cuts a promo on Becky going, I have done everything to get to you ever since SummerSlam where you turned your back on me. The deluded heel thing, right? You're the one that took away WrestleMania from me. Even buttering up Vince got me to you. And I couldn't stop you there. I'm going to end you. I'm going to stop you. Right? And she challenges Becky to a rematch for the Raw Women's Championship at whatever the pay-per-view after Mania is, he says, quickly going to Google.
Backlash? Question mark?
WrestleMania 35?
Let's just make believe it's Backlash for now.
Sure. Say Backlash, right? She challenges Becky to a no holds barred. She challenges her to a submission match. Right? In the weeks, the thing I'm leading off here is, if you remember the closing times of, like, the match with Ronda Rousey and the Royal Rumble, Charlotte was very good at having this almost unhinged look with, like, the messy hair and the dark lipstick and just looking completely fucking insane, right? That's carrying on. And she's brutal on... Like, she brutalizes Bayley. She brutalizes Sasha in the lead up to Saturday Night's Main, whatever we're calling them, Backlash, right? At the pay-per-view, Becky narrowly squeaks out a victory. Right? Like, narrow squeaks out a victory. Next night on Raw, Charlotte comes out again, and it's a very, very simple promo. And it was simply, I will do a deal with the devil to get your soul, Becky Lynch. and that's all she says. And another match is set up for the next pay-per-view, which we'll call Faster Lane. It's a normal match. And right before the match at Faster Lane, he is found like completely laid out under like scaffolding and a broken like a broken down fucking locker room, right? But being Becky Lynch, she's not gonna back down from anyone, right? So she goes out to the ring and she loses, and Charlotte wins the title, right?
Yep.
And it's at this point that it is revealed that Charlotte has made a deal with the devil, and the Wyatt family come out. Like, the full Wyatt family. Bray, Luke, Eric. Right? And as she's, like, full-on, like, Gollum-style holding the belt, and she's, like, kneeled down like this, Bray walks over and just sort of cups her cheek really, really tenderly and goes, "We one day, sister." Right?
This feels...
What?
This feels reminiscent to that one storyline you created in WWE.
Hold on. So, Charlotte has kind of that crazy sort of unhinged Charlotte has become a I don't want to say become a member of the Wyatt family, but she's aligned herself with darker forces, right? And for the next month, Becky is almost unseen as she heals up, right? And she Charlotte and Bray and that are cutting promos on people, and Bray's going to capture singles gold and that kind of thing. And then Becky makes her return, beats up Charlotte a bit, but gets run off by the Wyatt family. And a couple of weeks later, she's seen having a conversation backstage with a freshly faced Alexa Bliss. How's that? Right? And she's just saying, I don't know if I'm the man anymore. Like, I don't know if I have it in me. Right? And she gets a text message. We don't see who the text message is from, but we see the text message, and it just says, "You are the man." Right?
Yep.
And she just sort of looks at it, and she's like, this happens for a couple of weeks, right? Becky barely holding her own against Charlotte and the Wyatts. Often losing the fight, as often happened with Austin and the Ministry and whatever, right? And then she gets messages. And then just one day, she storms out to the ring on like a Monday Raw or something. And she goes, "I don't know who you are who've been sending me like..." And sorry, what happens is, I've got to read this. Earlier in the night, the Wyatt family and Charlotte try to attack Becky. But the lights go out, and when the lights come up, the Wyatt family are left laying. And Charlotte's like backed into a corner, and Becky's like, "I'm gonna murder you." So they all run off, and it's Becky in the ring alone. And she gets a microphone, and she's like, "I don't know who you are. I don't know where you've been. But it's time, and everything goes dark, and the Titantron flashes on. And it's that same text message font, and it just goes, I told you before, you are the man. And it cuts to the video of Sami Zayn and Becky Lynch sat in the parking lot over the hummus, where he's like, we need to bring that side of you out, make you believe in yourself again, right? And then the lights come on, and it's Sami, Kevin Owens, and someone else just like stood shoulder to shoulder with Becky. And that's, I didn't go for the romance thing, I went more for the
unity, like the tag team.
Yeah, because the best romance storyline is, I would repeat, me and Steph, lots of sex, lots more sex, profit.
Oh, man. But I will admit, the Wyatt family thing with Charlotte, it sounded a lot, you obviously changed certain things around, but it sounded like that WWE 2K storyline that you did with, I believe, with Mansa and Matt.
I never actually did it.
Oh, you never did it. You told me about this storyline.
I told you that I had an idea for it, but we never got the time to
execute
it.
Yeah.
But the way that Charlotte has really described, shown that like unhinged side of herself theories, I just foresee that being a thing they could do, especially with teasing Daniel, with us teasing Bray Wyatt's return. And I don't know why they put Eric Rowan with Daniel Bryan. I have no idea.
Yeah, and the one of the rumors is that Harper will probably be joining him.
Maybe.
Well, yet again, I mean, Rowan and Harper make a really good tag team.
I prefer good booking, which is why I wouldn't do that. Yeah. I just feel that's really lazy. Like,
what? So, yeah. So, Mr. Ben, we don't have any cons to promote except for AwesomeCon, but that's not till April. We don't even know when our panel is yet.
We don't even know we've got one, let's be honest.
Yeah. So, where can, so stay tuned.
Uh-huh.
For that. But where can the people find you on the social medias?
Find me at Bob T. Goldfish on Twitter, or you can find stuff about 321 TV, which is where we stream the recording of this show, at 321 Podcast on Twitter. You'll also get any notifications there about when Jordan and I go live, doing just like our general gaming stuff. We've been playing a lot of WoW. We're going to play some Star Wars The Old Republic.
Nice.
I'm trying to convince Jordan to get back and back into doing his fantasy booking version of WWE on stream. But he was streaming that on Facebook, so I don't know if that would make it to Twitch or not. The other thing that you can do, for me, at least, is keep an eye on my social media for a bunch of speedrunning marathons I will be involved in over the summer, which we will be raising money for very good causes.
Awesome. And then, of course, for me, you can follow me on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75. For other social media things, you can go to txhthockey.com. txhthockey.com/awesomemania is our exclusive page. And you can go to Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And also, I was originally going to be recording this upcoming Sunday, but it's been pushed back to next Sunday, the 24th. Mm-hmm. But I will be on Mike Jones of DC101's gaming podcast, What You Playing?
I wrote to him about that, and he never got back to me. So
when I talk to him next, I'll ask him for you. So But I'll be appearing on that. We'll be
the person that actually plays a lot of video games in this podcast.
Yeah, I know. I don't get to play as often, but yet I'm on it. But we will be actually be talking about Soul Calibur 6, because I'm a huge Soul Calibur fan. So I am a huge Soul Calibur fan, and I have been playing the game, and I love it.
Come on, tell me.
But with that, ladies and gentlemen.
Wait a minute.
You want to do something?
I need to check something. Just. Come on. Don't do this to me. Fuck! All right, carry on.
All right, and ladies and
gentlemen. For those of you who don't know, the reason why I yelled that like that is today, while we're recording this, is actually the first day of the second season of the Overwatch League. And one of my two teams, the London Spitfire, were playing in the opening game and lost. So
could be worse. Cavs play at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time tonight. I ain't staying up for that shit. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this has been Awesome Mania. And until next time, we will see you in the ring.
Hang on a minute. I think we should change the outro. I think we should see you ringside.
See you ringside.
Neither of us are fucking wrestlers. Anyway, we'll think about that for next week. Bye, everyone.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.